Gauranga, Shivopal ki jai, Lord Shingade ki jai, Salat Maharaj ki jai. So, Om Ganat, Timuranda Shah, Gananjana, Shlakaya, Chakshur, Meditam, Yena, Tasmai, Shi, Gurave, Namaha. So, we're going to briefly explain some of the pastimes of Lord Nrsimha and the reasons for his appearance. So, okay, not too loud, that's all right. So, when the Lord comes down, as we hear in the Bhagavad Gita, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanar bhavati bharata vyutanam adatmanam shrijamanam shrijamayaham tadatmanam shrijamayaham. That he comes to establish religious principles, annihilate the miscreants, and protect the devotees. And that is generally understood as the Lord's purpose. However, when Krishna comes down, and Lord Nrsimhadeva is non-different from Krishna, Dvaita, Chuta, Nadi, Rananta, Rupa, Madhyam, Varana, Purusham, Naviyovanam, Cha, Vedeshu, Durabham, Durabham, Atma, Bhaktu, Govindam, Adipurusham, Tamaham, Vajami. He is non-different from Krishna. So when the Lord comes down, he doesn't actually have to kill the demons or annihilate the miscreants. That can be done by his energies. Purasha Shaktir Vividaiva Shuyate Swabhavaki Jnana Vala Kriyacha. Any of these activities, such as annihilating miscreants, establishing religious principles, or protecting the devotees, can be done by the Lord's multifarious energies. However, the Lord comes down for his own purposes, and this is the real purpose, or the esoteric purpose, or the internal purpose behind Lord Nrsimhadeva's appearance. What was that purpose? That the Lord wanted to enjoy a fight. You understand? Krishna has all the qualities that we have, plus unlimitedly more qualities, because whatever qualities we have come from him. Aham sarvasya prabhavo, matak sarvam pravartate. So sometimes you all like to fight too, right? Everyone here likes to fight? Sometimes. Sometimes you like to watch a soccer game, right? Or soccer? Or what else? Cricket. You like cricket, I'm sorry. And sometimes you like to see loving exchanges, therefore you watch Bollywood films, right? Like Rani Mukherjee and Vivek Oberoi and all those other personalities. So those qualities of wanting to have loving exchanges or wanting to have a good fight, they exist in the Lord. Where else or why else would we have them unless they existed in Krishna, right? If Krishna didn't have them, we wouldn't have them. So Krishna in the spiritual world wants to have some chivalrous fighting exchange, but he wants to have that exchange with his devotees. Krishna doesn't like fighting just plain old demons that much. He wants to fight with devotees because that's more chivalrous, that's an exchange of ras. Just like we have the five direct rasas and the seven indirect rasas. Indirect would be like humor, chivalry, astonishment, ghastliness. So Krishna enjoys the different tastes, like you enjoy different types of spices in your food. That's why you have garam masala, right? So Krishna likes garam masala in his pastimes. You understand? He needs hot masala, hot spices in his pastimes. So Krishna made the arrangement that Jai and Vijay, they're the guardians of the spiritual world, Vaikuntha lokas, they were stopping the four Kumaras in their path. And Krishna made the arrangement that the four Kumaras cursed Jai and Vijay to come down because Krishna wanted to fight with them. And therefore, they came down as Haranyakashipu, Haranyaksha, Shishupal, Dandavakra, Ravana, and Kumbhakarna. And later on, as Jagai and Madai, and that way they got liberated, went back to the spiritual world. But that was devotee. So they took three births as demons. So the first births, that was Haranyaksha, And Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha was the younger brother of Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyaksha was killed by who? Does anyone remember? Varaha. The boar incarnation of the Lord. So one may think, how is it that God appears in all these different features? He appears as a boar is a big wild pig. That's right. Yeah, please don't play with a mobile phone. Or if you play, don't have it make any noise. If you play, put it on silent. So, someone may ask, why does the Lord appear as a big wild pig? Or why does he appear as half man, half lion? Why does he appear as a tortoise? Why does he appear in any of these species of life? Because he wants to have fun. Whatever Krishna does, he does it because he wants to have fun. If you ask about God's psychology, you analyze whatever he does is for fun, right? Whatever he does. Just like sometimes the children, you may play as different animals, right? I remember when we were young, sometimes we would play as a tiger or an elephant. In the same way, Krishna does that. Even though he has a transcendental body, that transcendental body can assume any feature he wants. And in that transcendental body, he can perform any act with any of his senses. Angani, yasha, shakalen, driyadri, timanti, as described in the Brahma Samhita. So, Krishna, he wants to enjoy himself, and he comes down as a boar, he comes down half man, half lion, all these different features. And he comes down in every species of life. There's actually an incarnation of Krishna in every species of life. That's 8,400,000 species of life. Can you imagine that? So there's a dog incarnation of Krishna, a tiger incarnation of Krishna, a bird incarnation of Krishna, and even an insect incarnation of Krishna. So if you see a little bug going around with a peacock feather, be careful. That may be Krishna. So what happened is that Krishna arranged that Jaya and Vijaya were cursed. First, Hiranyaksha was killed, and then Hiranyakashipu, his brother, was very upset. Very upset that his Chotabai was killed, younger brother, was killed. And what he did is he thought, the person who has killed my younger brother, I must kill him. And the person who killed his younger brother was Lord Vishnu in the form of Lord Varaha. So he began to perform very heavy austerities, standing on his tiptoes for many, many years in the Vandara hills. And he became so powerful that fire emanated from his head. And it was burning everyone in the universe. While he was doing his austerities, his wife was taken away by Indra. Because Indra thought that Hiranyakashipu's wife, who was pregnant, was going to give birth to a bigger demon. Because usually, people who are demons have demon children. And devotees have devotee children, right? Or sometimes it's the opposite. Krishna had a son who was a demon. Does anyone know the name of that son? Narakasura, Bhomasura. Krishna had a son when the earth planet was touched by Lord Varaha. Then she became pregnant and she gave birth to a very nice boy, but he had bad association. He had good parents, but bad association, and he turned into demon number one. And he kidnapped so many girls, and Krishna had to kill his own son. That's interesting, isn't it? Krishna had to kill his own son. Don't do that. So generally, demons have other demons. So Indra was thinking Hiranyakashipu's wife, Kayadu, is going to have another demon. So Indra was getting ready to kill the kid as he was born. And Narada Muni interfered, and Narada Muni said, no, let me take that kid and the wife, and let me take them into my ashram at Nardakund, which is right at Govardhan. Anyone's been to Nardakund here? Nardakund is right next to Govardhan Hill, right near Kushima Sarovara, just like to the left of the path. So he took her there, and he preached while she was pregnant with Palad Maharaj. And later on, Hiranyakashipu finished his austerities, but when he finished his austerities, he was living in the marrow of his bone. He was such a great yogi. He was living in the marrow of his bone, and his whole body had become eaten by ants. An anthill had surrounded him. Lord Brahma came and offered him a benediction. He brought him back to life, of course. And Hiranyakashipu wanted to become immortal. But Lord Brahma said, even I'm not immortal, so you have to figure out what else you want. You can choose the way you're going to die. This is what Lord Brahma does when he gives benedictions. He lets people choose the way they're going to die. I'll tell you a story about that. One time there were two brothers, and they were so powerful that nobody could defeat them. And they asked Lord Brahma for a benediction. They also wanted to become immortal. Their names were Sunda and Upasunda. And they said, after Lord Brahma said, you can choose how you're going to die, they said, well, the only way we would die would be fighting each other, killing each other. And they were thinking, we'll never kill each other because we love each other. We're brothers. Generally, brothers don't kill each other. But what happened is that Lord Brahma created this beautiful girl named Tilottama. And he sent down this beautiful girl, Tilottama, when they were drunk. And these two brothers fought over the girl and killed each other. And therefore, Lord Brahma had predicted the way they were going to die. So when you get a benediction from the demigods, sometimes that benediction predicts the way you're going to die, right? So don't approach the demigods. That's the problem. Like Vrikasura, he wanted what? What did Vrikasura want? Whose ever head he touched was what? Burst into 1,000 pieces. So that predicted how he was going to die. Just like if you pray to the demigods for gold, right? You say, I want gold. I want the Midas touch. You know what the Midas touch is? Whatever you touch turns to gold. Then you end up touching yourself. You'll turn to gold and you'll die. So don't pray to the demigods. It's dangerous. So Lord Brahma said, all right, you can't have immortality, but you can, you know, pick some other things. And Hiranyakashipu, basically, he tried to cover all of his bases, as they say. I don't want to be killed in the inside or the outside or day or night or any being created by you. He thought that was covering everything. Or by any weapon or anything dead or anything living. That's pretty good, isn't it? You got all these different plans. Not inside, not outside, no up or down. And Lord Brahma said yes. And so therefore, Hiranyakashipu got so powerful, he thought that he would kill Vishnu by stopping all the brahmanas from doing their sacrifices. Because he thought that Vishnu was like the other demigods. The other demigods are dependent upon sacrifice for their livelihood. If you don't offer sacrifice to Indra, he starves. Just like we're offering sacrifice. Of course, we're offering sacrifice to Vishnu, but that's not because Vishnu needs it. It's because we need it. But the demigods need their sacrifice, and they get angry like Indra did when the residents of Vrindavan didn't offer sacrifice to him. So he thought, let me stop the Brahmins from offering sacrifice. He was tearing apart the whole universe, torturing everybody. And then he had his nice little son, Palad Maharaj. And he sent his son to a New Orleans school. It's called a Surukula. Good, he sent his son to a normal public school here. So, not really, I know that. He sent his son to the Asurakula, the school for the Asuras, the demons. And what they were teaching there was basically politics and materialism. The politics that they taught was very interesting. You should study these things. How to deal with your enemies. Like if you have an enemy, what do you do with your enemy? First thing is you give him sweet words. You say, oh, my dear enemy, my dear Makanchor. You're so nice. You're such a nice devotee, Malcolm Chor. And then he'll think, oh, I should be his friend instead of his enemy. That's the first thing. The next thing is, if Malcolm Chor doesn't like that, then you give him a bribe. You understand? You give him, here's some money, Malcolm Chor. Here's some makan, you know, some butter. And if that doesn't work, you use divide and conquer. It's called beta. This is politics. You say to Malcolm Chor, did you hear what Shraddhadev said about you? And then you say to Shraddhadev, did you hear what Malcolm Chor said about you? You don't know what he's saying behind your back. So this is what's mentioned. This is Bhagavatam. I'm actually just giving common examples of what it means to divide and conquer. And after I told them both, let's say they're both my enemies, I told them both what each one said about the other, they start killing each other and I don't have to do anything. And you see this in the modern world, that in many countries, they find an enemy, usually it's America, and that unites the people. You know, they have a common enemy, it unites the people. So that's politics. And then another part of politics is, if still doesn't work, you threaten him. You say, if you don't listen to me, I'm going to beat you. And the final part is argumentum ad baculum. You beat the person, or you put them in jail, or you torture them, or something like that. So that they were teaching Prahlad Maharaj, but he didn't like that, because he was yastu sarvani bhutani atmane vanupashati sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tatona vigigupshate. He saw everyone equally as part and parcel of Krishna. So he didn't hate anybody, he couldn't have any enemies. He was a jata shatrava. He whose enemy is never born. He's a Vaishnava because he had heard from Narada Muni in the womb of his mother. So he didn't appreciate that very much. So sometimes his father would take him home and ask him, what's the best thing you learned in school? And he would tell his father, the best thing I learned was Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. In other words, to hear and chant about your enemy. That's pretty bad, isn't it? It was like if Osama bin Laden had a son. And he asked his son, what's the best thing? Oh, God bless America. You understand that? The comparison? He's like, huh? He would think, you know, what happened to my son? He's supposed to be a terrorist. So Hiranyakashipu was the original terrorist. So he asked his son that, and Prahlad Maharaj replied all these things that really aggravated him. You know, really disturbed his mind. Also, Prahlad Maharaj told his father that you're so materially attached, you should take sannyas, take vanaprastha, go to the forest. And his father kept sending him back to school. And each time Prahlad Maharaj had an opportunity, he preached to his friends. And his friends also had many excuses why they couldn't be Krishna conscious. You know, some of the friends said we're young, other friends said we're driving a taxi, so we don't have time to chant our vows. Is that a good excuse? I'm trying to put it in modern words so you understand. So Prahlad Maharaj, he said, you'll always have an excuse. He said, now you're saying you're kids. Later on you'll say you're teenagers. Later on you'll say you got married. Later on you'll say you're retired. And later on you'll say you're dead. So in this way, you're always going to have an excuse, plus 50% of the time you're sleeping, right? So, Komara Machurek Pragyo Dharmam Bhagavatam Niha Dorobam Manasa Janma Tarap Dhruvam Arthadam. So you should take up Krishna consciousness from the very birth, or from the beginning of life. And so they all began to chant, and his teachers walked in while they were having a kirtan, and he got sent back to his father. And after all this interaction with his teachers, his father thought, I have to employ the final method of dealing with my enemy because my son has become my enemy. He said, my dear son, I'm going to kill you. And he tried various means to kill his son. Some of them were like throwing his son under the feet of elephants, others were throwing in the pit of serpents. Other times he had his wife feed poison to Prahlad Maharaj. So many ways. But Prahlad Maharaj, being the acharya of the process of what? What is he the acharya of? Smarana. Right? He always remembered Vishnu, and he showed us how Vishnu, Krishna, is always protecting one, even in spite of all danger. Isn't it? Rakshamam, Rakshamam, Pahimam, Pahimam, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted when he went through the forest, right? Krishna, 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 hey. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam, Pahimam, right? So, he was always protected by Vishnu, and his father got frustrated, sent him back to school, but when Prahlad Maharaj continued with his activities, then his father thought, now I have to kill him myself. So he got so upset with his son, I'm telling the story very quickly, that he asked his son, where do you get your power from? And Prahlad Maharaj said, from the same place you get your power from, father, Pitashri. And his father said, who? And Prahlad Maharaj said, God. And Aranyakashipu said, where is your God? And Prahlad Maharaj says, Sarvatra. He's everywhere. And Aranyakashipu looked at the pillar, like this pillar, and he said, if I can kill the pillar, I'll kill your God, because God is everywhere. So he took out his sword. It was actually called the Chandrahas, the same thing as Ravana had. And he went to strike the pillar. And when he struck the pillar, when he was getting ready to strike the pillar, Lord Nrsingadev, half man, half lion, came out. And he not only killed Hiranyakashipu, but he played with him. Because when the Lord appears as half man, half lion, he's in the mood of a cat. You understand? Lion's head. And has anyone seen what a cat does when it catches a bird? What does it do? It plays with it. It lets it go, and then picks it up again, and lets it go, picks it up again, many, many times. It tortures it. So in the same way, Hiranyakashipu was tortured by Lord Nrsingadev. And eventually, when it came the right time, not the day or the night, in the dusk, he put him down in the doorway, and he killed him with his nails, which were neither dead nor alive. Did you know that? Nails are not dead, but they're not alive either. There's like in between, you can't figure it out. Because they grow, but they're also dead. So who could figure out whether they're dead or alive? Like hair. So he could have killed him with his hair or with his nails. So not the inside, not the outside, not day or night, not up or down, not man or beast. Nor, and actually the reason he picked beast is because his brother was killed by a beast, Lord Vara. So Lord Nrsingadev made sure that all these conditions were upheld. But the interesting thing is, because Prahlad Maharaj, as I mentioned before, never considered anyone to be his enemy, it's not that he was jumping up and down in ecstasy and said to the Lord, oh, smash him, kill him, tear out his intestines. The Lord did it. But Prahlad Maharaj was just sitting there peacefully watching his father have his intestectomy. It's called an intestectomy. That's a technical word. When the intestines were taken out and put around Lord Nrsingadev's head as a garland. And he wasn't thinking his father was his enemy. Can you imagine that? Not thinking someone who is trying to kill you is your enemy is the topmost platform of devotional service, topmost platform of forgiveness. How many of us are on that platform that we can forgive someone who tries to kill us or attack us or blaspheme us? That is a test. Oftentimes I tell devotees that if you really want to advance in devotional service, you should pray for the person who hates you the most.
Nelson.
What?
Nelson.
Nelson? Oh, him. Oh, okay. So pray for him. One time I was walking in Fiji and a dog bit me. And so instead of thinking I should kill him, I brought him some Mahaprasad the next day. So that's how we should feel. So Prahlad Maharaj set that perfect example. So after Lord Nrsingadev had killed his father, Lord Nrsingadev was so angry, he was killing all the enemy soldiers, the demon soldiers, and manifesting so many arms. And the demigods got so angry because his roaring was disturbing even all the airplanes, the demigods' airplanes in space. And so the demigods thought, what are we going to do? None of them wanted to approach Lord Nrsingadev, even Lord Nrsingadev's wife, Lakshmi. And what to speak of Lord Brahma. Finally, they pushed Prahlad Maharaj forward, and Lord Nrsingadev put Prahlad Maharaj on his lap, and it's described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he licked Prahlad Maharaj like a cat. Remember, he's in the mood of a cat. A lion. A lion is a big cat. So he was licking Prahlad Maharaj out of great affection and love. That's how much love he had. And then he said to Prahlad Maharaj, ask for a benediction. Anything you want, you can have. Anything. Wouldn't we want that? What, we'd have a long list if Lord Nrsingadev came to us, isn't it? So many things we want. Beginning with gold and so many things. Dhanam, Janam, and Sundari we would want. So he said, I am not a merchant. I'm not a Vaniya. I'm not a merchant. I'm not going to do business with you. I simply want to serve you, your causeless devotional service, Mama Janmani Janmani Shre. Bhavatad Bhakti Hoite Pui Dwaye, life after life, that's all I want. But if you want to give me something, you should help my father. And Lord Nrsingadev said, yes, 11 generations of your family are liberated. And he also benedicted Prahlad Maharaj that I will never kill any of your family members anymore. Interesting. So, therefore, we find Prahlad Maharaj's descendants. Does anyone know who his grandchild is? Bali Maharaj. And who is his great-grandchild? This is a good test for you all. Who is Prahlad Maharaj's great-grandchild? I'll give you a hint. He had 1,000 arms. No. What? Banasura. Banasura. So therefore, when Krishna attacked Banasura, he didn't kill him. He left him with 4 arms. Because Banasura was a great devotee of Lord Shiva also. So Bali Maharaj, he benedicted Banasura. So anyone in the family got liberated because of their connection with Krishna. Similarly, anyone who is connected with a devotee of Krishna, any family member, past, present, future, gets liberated. That's the benefit you have of performing devotional service. That you are liberating your whole family. If you perform devotional service, if you chant your rounds, follow the regulated principles, then you can bless everyone in your family. Like one sandalwood tree in a forest makes the whole forest fragrant. So, in addition, Prahlad Maharaj said, I am feeling great compassion for all living entities. So he begged for all living entities to be freed from the cycle of birth and death. So what we can learn from this story is Prahlad Maharaj, especially Prahlad Maharaj's great compassion, great Vaishnava behavior, great Vaishnava mentality, in being able to tolerate everything and loving all living entities, especially his father, in spite of the attempted tortures that his father put him through. That's one lesson. Another lesson we learn is the Lord's playfulness, because this whole pastime, it's a pastime, what we call a leela, that is the Lord enjoying himself, playing in a chivalrous way with his devotee, Hiranyakashipu, who was previously one of the Jaya and Vijaya pair. So these are very nice things that we meditate on this pastime. We'll lose a desire to enjoy this material world. We will lose a desire to see cricket games. That is the proof that you will lose a desire to see sporting activities in this mundane world. Like Rupa Goswami says, if you would all desire to enjoy society, friendship, and love, don't go to see Krishna playing his flute on the banks of the Kanchi Ghat. So in the same way, when we hear about the Lord's pastimes, we become detached, and we understand that the Lord is always protecting us. One additional thing we can learn from Lord Nrsimhadev's pastimes is that we pray to Lord Nrsimhadev not just to protect us, not just to protect our movement and the devotees, but to annihilate the demons in our heart. What are the demons in our heart? Lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear. They're called anarthas, or unwanted things. These unwanted things keep us from our connection with Krishna. So we pray like this, my dear Lord Nrsimhadev, please destroy these things in my heart so I can render pure devotional service to Krishna. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was given the Nrsimha Mantra by his father, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, for that specific purpose. So when we chant, we should pray for all these things to Lord Nrsimhadev. So, it's getting late, so I guess we should end now. We have the RT for Lord Nrsimhadev. Okay, all glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Nrsimha Bhagavan, Ki Jai, Gaur Premanand.